Welcome to worship, West Valley Presbyterian Church. This is the last Sunday of my sabbatical when I will be gone from you. It's a communion Sunday, and Dick Spencer will be giving the meditation this morning on confession. I had one of my students tell me one time that there's a lot of sermons on forgiveness, but not so many sermons on confession. So listen as Dick brings you the meditation, because there's a wealth of knowledge to learn about how to confess and the power of confession when it comes from the heart, and also the benefits of corporate confession.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and before one another. Please join me. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against Your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy on us. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to Your promises, declared to the world in Jesus Christ our Lord. And grant, most merciful God, for His sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of Your holy name. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Anyone who is in Christ is in a new creation. Know that we are forgiven. Be at peace. Amen. Oh, good morning again. My name is Todd Misfelt, and we are here to worship God, to give Him our praise as is fitting. But there are other opportunities that are available for you to serve as part of the body of this church. First of all, we love to pray. We are a praying church. In the pews, there are some yellow prayer cards. If you have a prayer concern for yourself or those around you, please fill it out, drop it in the collection plate, and our prayer team will pray for you and your concerns on Tuesday mornings. Also, for those of you in the center aisle, there's a little black book in front of you. Please take it out. Let us know that you're here. Pass it down to the end so everyone can have a chance. So we have an opportunity for the women here to chance to get to know each other better as the body of the women in the body of Christ here. There's a women's retreat in March. More information is in your bulletin. There's also a one-day option that's new. So please go ahead and, if you're interested, sign up or look at the bulletin for more information. And as Christians, we believe that no one should walk alone through life. And there are some of us who walk alone through divorce and separation. So we want to be able to comfort you and to support you in that effort. So next Sunday, we're beginning a new series of divorce care. Again, information is in here. So if there's someone you know or yourself is walking this difficult path, please take a look at this, so that you may not be alone. As Bob mentioned earlier, there's a congregational meeting. It'll take place immediately after the service, so just stay tight. And for those of you with children in the children's choir, again, a great opportunity to have our youth learn the music of God, of the church, and get a chance to know each other too. They will be meeting in rooms 11-12 during the congregational meeting. That's when the children's choir will meet. And There will also be a Rancho Santa Marta meeting at the end of the congregational meeting. Now I want to ask the Boy Scouts to come up. So West Valley is a host of Boy Scout Troop number 407. And more information about them is in your bulletin, but they have a presentation for us this morning.
Good morning. I'm Larry Grace, and I am the Scoutmaster of Troop 407. We are very, very proud to be here. We, again, want to thank West Valley Presbyterian Church, the entire congregation, for your ongoing support. I hope some of you, I recognize some of you having been over for pancake breakfast this morning. We have to be a little bit careful. I understand you had pancake breakfast last Sunday. Don't count on one next Sunday. On my left, on your right, is Stephanie Bonus. Stephanie is our committee chair. She is responsible for organizing all of the adults in our troop that support the boys in their program. Next to Stephanie is Dave Brogard, who is the charter organizational rep, who is a member of the church, and he is the liaison between our troop and the church. And on Dave's right is Sudut Yuvaraj, who is one of our scouts. He is our chaplain's aide this 6 months and is the one who was responsible for organizing the pancake breakfast and our participation in the service this morning. Dave, I think... Thank you. I think Dave has a couple of words that he would like to share with all of you.
As I've worked with the scouts for the past 30-plus years here at West Valley, one of the thoughts that's come to mind recently is, you know, the church is very involved in trying to transform lives through the power of Jesus Christ. And I think our scout troop is supporting that effort in the sense that we're also trying to transform lives, building up their independence and confidence. But it's also one of the few youth programs I know where we actually have the scouts take time to think, what does duty to God mean to them? What does it mean for them to be a scout as reverent? The Scouts doesn't choose a particular religion, but we are one of the few places I know where we encourage the Scouts to talk about it. And I thank you guys for your support.
And in recognition of the church's support of Troop 407, I'd like to present this charter certificate to Todd. It says, the charter granted to the West Valley Presbyterian Church upon application through authorized representatives to carry on the scouting program for character development, citizenship training, mental and physical fitness. December 31st, 2016 will be the expiration date for Troop 407 Cupertino. Todd, thank you, and thanks very much to the whole congregation.
Thank you very much, Larry, and to the scouts.
Now, I would like for six people to come forward who can just kneel down here on the floor. And maybe some of the younger ones. Yeah, just kneel. Just go ahead and kneel. Go ahead and kneel. Or on the floor or sit is okay. To sit is okay. And children, would you find a person that you can lay your hands on? Okay, just find a person. Good. And congregation, would you do something? Going to do this together. Peggy and Nathan, why don't you work your way in by the podium and I'll just stand out here. And we're going to do a responsive reading for those who are going. So, Peggy, would you, our chair of mission, begin, please?
You are the team that God has chosen to serve at Rancho Santa Marta this year. Do you accept your assignment as a commission from God to go and act on His behalf? And do you accept the responsibility of representing this congregation in doing the work of our Lord at Rancho Santa Marta?
I do. Congregation, will we follow you with our prayers?
Do you commit yourselves to serving faithfully on this trip in ways that bring honor and glory to God? Will you serve with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, treasuring your experiences as opportunities to learn and to grow?
We will. God will give you strength.
This is to the congregation. It is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings." Do you recognize God's commission on the lives of these participants?
We do.
And will you continue your investment and interest in our ongoing work there, endeavoring to support it and support these team members now, during, and after this week of service?
We will. We wholeheartedly accept this mission from God. Would you repeat after me? We wholeheartedly accept this mission from God. Go into the world. We'll take the love and support of the church. We'll take the love and support of the church. Go into the world. We'll take off the blinders and shield our eyes from the real world struggles. And congregation, answer, go into the world. Go into the world. And will you repeat, we'll do what Jesus has called us to do. And we say, go into the world.
Baskets will be coming around in a few moments with the names of each participant who is going to Rancho Santa Marta. Take one of the names out of the baskets and pray for that person for the week that they are serving in Mexico, February 13th through 18th. Pray for strength, peace, patience, and kindness. Above all, pray that God will use that person to show his love. Please join me in unison prayer of dedication as together we send this team forth in Jesus' name.
And let us pray together. Guiding and loving God, empower these people to be your hands and feet. Help them to glorify you by serving others. Send them into the world to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and warm those who are cold. By their actions and words, make them witnesses of your great love and your passion for rescuing good people. Protect them, teach them, and support them as they take this next step in their own journey to becoming the people you want them to be. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and enable them to do their tasks faithfully and joyfully. Bring them safely home and then let their experience further enrich us so that we too will glorify you by serving our community in the love of Christ. Go in Jesus' name and do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. And children, you may go to your Sunday school classes, but if you're able, get a name of a person from a basket back there that you'll pray for. Okay, well, they're gone. Thank you. Thank you, Rancho Santa Mission, Santa Marta team. Would you please thank them?
Right, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, lover of our hearts, Savior of our souls, we come before you with praise and gratitude this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to commission those who will represent our congregation in Mexico in a week to serve at Rancho Santa Marta Orphanage. And we pray for safe travel for them and a safe week of hard work for the team members and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon them. We thank you for Troop 407, for 51 years of connection with our congregation, for the influence on the young men who have come up through that troop, and we thank you for all of the leaders who have sacrificially given of their time to serve the kids in the Scout troop. We thank you for those within our congregation who have accepted your call to serve as elders and deacons and who will be installed shortly. And we ask that you bless them with wisdom and joy as they serve. We thank you for Pastor Kim's sabbatical. We thank you that she has had a time of rest and rejuvenation, and ask that you bless her as she rejoins us this next week. And we thank you for the indwelling presence of Jesus, who draws us to you and calls us to surrender our hearts to you anew each day. Father, we lift up before you a number of our brothers and sisters. For Don Eldridge, one of our founding members, one of our beloved servants, who is now at home receiving hospice care with family gathered at his bedside. We pray for your mercy and comfort upon him, for strength for Marvis and the Eldridge family, and also we pray for Marvis particularly as she may be battling pneumonia amidst all of this. So, Father, just please surround the Eldridge family with your presence. For Carol McCune, we pray for mercy and comfort and for wisdom for the Holsker family as they discern how best to provide care for Carol. We also pray for healing for others who have recently suffered injury or illness or undergone surgery, specifically for Edith Pinho, for Scott Hauser, for Janet Anvik, and for Don and Pat Strandberg. Father, our hearts are grateful. You have done so much. We surrender anew to you this day. And we now join together reciting the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In our series on the disciplines of the Christian faith, we come to the discipline of confession. My meditation will be brief as we prepare for the sacrament and for the very important meeting of our congregation. I'm going to ask you to be especially attentive this morning in this brief meditation. We're going to have text on the screen, and I want you to focus. Even as I speak, these words are very important for our faith. You say first that the word confession is used in two different ways in the Christian faith. Most importantly, it is confessing our faith. The original language means that we are agreeing with the truth about Jesus Christ. We confess that he is, as Holy Scripture claims, our Savior and our Lord. A second meaning is that I agree with the Word of God about me and the truth that it tells about me. The first screen will tell us, are we there? Oh, here it is. Good, thank you. The great 4th century Christian teacher, St. Augustine, once said that confession, in the sense of confessing sin and agreeing with the word of truth about us, is like daily baptism. Daily baptism, first the opening of the heart and mind to the deepest truth that we can know about God's will and love for us, that we are called to be his children forever in resurrection life. Confession is like daily baptism in that through our living faith in Jesus Christ, we are enabled to understand ourselves more accurately, to open ourselves in humble honesty to his cleansing grace, to walk more and more in his light. Third, confession is like daily baptism because through confession, we come to live together as brothers and sisters who love and care with deep trustworthiness, openness, compassion, and mutual support. From the very beginning of the Christian faith, nearly 2,000 years ago, the practice of confessing sins has been an essential part of our worship, an essential part of our fellowship, and of our private lives. The roots of that confession were in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, such as Psalm 32, verse 5. Hear the Word of God. The psalmist wrote, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, Lord, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." We find a classic statement of our Christian understanding of confession in the first letter of John. Hear the Word of God. "This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His truth is not in us." As we evangelical Protestants understand this text, confession of sin is for the purpose of clearing away the damage. Clearing away the damage that sin causes in our relationship with God and with each other. In order to move forward in the light of Jesus Christ, we admit to Him and under the right circumstances to each other our sin that we might be cleansed. You and I are meant to walk in the light of God's gracious truth as revealed in Scripture. Our walk in that light includes understanding that we live in a world where God's good pattern of living is compromised and disrupted by our disobedience. Like willful children who take their budding individuality a bit too seriously and enjoy defying their parents, eventually they learn that their parents guided them out of love, just as our Heavenly Father commands us and guides us as an embodiment of wise love. In the letter of James, there's a dimension of this process of confessing that is not widely practiced, but terribly important, but needs proper understanding. Here it is. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise that person up. And if that person has committed sins, that person will be forgiven." And here is the part too little observed, but potentially a means of grace. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Richard Foster's book, which has guided our series, The Celebration of Discipline, has a chapter on confession. Let me quote part of it. Listen. "The Scripture teaches us that all believers are priests." Let me say that again. "The Scripture teaches us that all believers are priests before God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood." At the time of the Reformation, this was called the universal priesthood of all believers. One of the functions of the Old Testament priest was to bring the forgiveness of sins through the holy sacrifice. The book of Hebrews, of course, makes clear that Jesus Christ is the final and sufficient sacrifice. And Jesus has given to us His priesthood. Let me say that again. And Jesus has given to us His priesthood. The ministry of making that sacrifice real in the hearts and lives of other human beings. It is through the voice of our brothers and sisters that the word of forgiveness is heard and takes root in our lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, and it's meant to be inclusive language. I'll read it as he wrote it. A man who confesses his sins in the presence of a brother knows that he is no longer alone with himself. He experiences the presence of God and the reality of the other person. As long as I am by myself in the confession of my sins, everything remains in the dark. But in the presence of a brother or sister, the sin is brought into the light. The text of James is meant to encourage us to know that there is a wonderful and healing power in a Christian fellowship of brothers and sisters who grow to care for each other with wholesome Christian love, are both non-judgmental, and encourage each other toward faithfulness to the Word of God, who keep confidences, are honest with themselves about sin and grace, and pray for each other faithfully. That is an essential part of the discipline of confession. When we have a need to confess, we need to be very discerning about the trustworthiness of those who hear what is true about us. Let us be a fellowship of trustworthiness, confidentiality, compassion, non-judgmental, at the same time, insistently to encourage faithfulness to Jesus Christ. The discipline of confession in a fellowship of trustworthy love is a healing power. As we come to the sacrament of our Lord Jesus Christ and to His table, let us come in that very spirit of acknowledging Him, but at the same time knowing that His sacrifice is for us. It is for our cleansing and our nurture. There is a real and actual power of the Holy Spirit at work in this sacrament this morning in your life. This is not merely a remembrance. There is a conveying through what we do in the serving of this sacrament, in the Word of God that you've heard and believed, that empowers you subtly yet persistently to be His children. And if you attend to that, live with that, nurture that, and walk with that, there is an actual conveying of divine power in your life. All who confess faith in Jesus Christ are warmly invited to partake of this sacrament. When Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples, He said to them that this would be the last night that He would share with them until the kingdom, when we would share together in a great heavenly banquet feast of joy. But Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I break this bread as an example of the dying of Jesus Christ on the cross, the giving of His life, that the brokenness of our lives may be healed and that we may be prepared for that life which is to come. Same way our Lord Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the cleansing of your sins. All of you, drink of it." Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. All of you, drink of it." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for Your gift to us, that in our sacrament this day You are present, and by Your Holy Spirit, we are nurtured, given grace to live in light. It is through Christ our Lord we always pray. Amen. May your days be days in which the reality of your baptism in Christ, the turning away from the darkness of the world and toward the light of Christ, reenacted in your prayers, in your reading of Scripture, in your fellowship. May the truth that we are being prepared for a life unending take root in the soil of your heart, that you may know that we live but in the preface of the real life to come. That is no myth, that is truth. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship, counsel, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.